From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled The Model Prayer, part of this series of studies on the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Reward for the Righteous. The text is Psalm 58, verse 11. So that a man shall say, Verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. God's judgments in this life are not always clearly to be seen, for in many cases one event happeneth alike to all. This is the state of probation, not of punishment or reward. Yet at times God works terrible things in righteousness, and even the careless are compelled to own His hand. Even in this life, righteousness has that kind of reward which it prefers above all others, namely, the smile of God, which creates a quiet conscience. Sometimes other recompenses follow, for God will be in no man's debt. But at the same time, the chief reward of the righteous lies in the hereafter. Meanwhile, on a large scale, we mark the presence of the great ruler among the nations. He breaks in pieces oppressive thrones and punishes guilty peoples. No one can study the history of the rise and fall of empires without perceiving that there is a power which makes for righteousness and in the end brings iniquity before its bar and condemns it with unsparing justice. Sin shall not go unpunished, and goodness shall not remain unrewarded. The judge of all the earth must do right. Therefore, let us fear before him, and no more dread the power of the wicked.
As life's secret its wisdom imparts to all who will seek it, rejoicing their hearts.
The matter's conclusion, the duty of man, fear God and His statutes, obey His demands.
The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom, the fountain that flows, His blessing and honor and comfort bestows. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, it's clean and enduring, it's promise ensuring, God's confidence during my days.
The fear of the
Receive. receive godly wisdom and listen to gold. Apply understanding and watch it unfold. Oh, cry after knowledge, oh, lift up your voice. Seek wisdom as silver so you may rejoice. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom, the fountain that flows, it blessing and honor and comfort bestows. Ensuring God's confidence during my days, the fear of the Lord, 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 the fear of the Lord.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Matthew chapter 6, Christ's disciples asked him to teach them to pray. The Savior's response forms the familiar and beloved words which we know as the Lord's Prayer. In spite of the apparent simplicity of the prayer, Christ here sets forth deep and searching truths regarding our approach to God. As Dr. Cairns has already emphasized, prayer is the most difficult of spiritual exercises. It is the true measure of a believer's spiritual maturity. True prayer is the result of deep thought and deep feeling, a realization of who God is in all His majesty and holiness. Now to continue this message, the model prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
Remember what the Lord Jesus said in verse 7? When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Vain repetitions. Remember we gave you the force of that word? It's gabbling. Gabbling. Jesus has said, when you get to pray, don't just gabble. Or as you Americans like to put it, run off at the mouth. That's a rather genteel way of saying what the British say when they're... That's slang, you know. Run off at the mouth. The British way of slang is slobbering. And each of them is as revolting as the other. I don't like to use slang much in the pulpit, but when it gets to the meaning of a word, this is what this word is talking about. This is not a nice word. Vain repetition sort of has a, because it's been used for so many centuries, it sort of has a holy aura about it. But it's not a nice word. Jesus is saying, don't be gabbling. Don't just let your motor mouth take over. And you just run off and say more and more and more. You don't know what you're saying. You don't know why you're saying it. You don't know what direction you're going in. There's no structure to it whatsoever. Remember in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2, we are told, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Why? Because God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. The psalmist had this in mind when he prayed in Psalm 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. There is a structure here. It's not just gabbling mindlessly. Thus, since there's a structure, I can make three comments. I can say prayer is the result of deep thought. It is not haphazard. Oh, it is spontaneous. You know the word spontaneous has the root meaning of coming from the will. Spons is the Latin word for will. So it is coming from the will. The idea in spontaneity to us is simply that it comes without thought. But that is not the idea of spontaneity. Spontaneity means that it comes from our inner man. It comes from our very inmost being. But it is the product of deep thought. I know that we don't like printed prayers and read prayers. And I know one of the great drawbacks, say, of the Church of England or Episcopalian prayer book is that so much emphasis can be placed in the beauty of words and expressions and vague generalizations that really you miss the point in prayer. But I think that in many of our fundamental and Protestant churches, we have gone to the opposite extreme of laying such an emphasis on what we think is spontaneity in praying that a minister will get up to pray without ever thinking of what he's going to pray. Without ever thinking. Now, you would not go to talk, even to your local congressman, about anything that was on your heart without thinking what you were going to talk about. But yet we fancy somehow it is spiritual to come to God without a thought in our brain as to what we're going to talk about. Prayer is the product of deep thought. That's why the reading of God's Word, the study, the devotional study of God's Word should precede our praying. The great English Baptist preacher, Dr. McLaren, according to his assistant minister, had an hour set apart every morning. When he went into his study and he opened this Bible, McLaren was one of the great analysts of Scripture, a deep thinker, a teacher of no mean ability. But that hour was not given to analyzing the Bible, but it was given simply to soaking in a devotional way, the message of Scripture. Just letting the words of Scripture penetrate the heart, form the thoughts, so that then prayer would be the result of deep thinking. It should be the result, obviously, of deep feeling. The feeling of deep desire, the acknowledgement of deep need. It comes from the heart. It is out of the depths. Deep answers unto deep when we come to God in prayer. Out of the depths of our need and our desire, we cry to God, who hears us out of the depths of His compassion and answers us out of the depths of His provision. And then, of course, prayer is the result of deep faith. That's the force of the great ascription of glory at the end of the prayer. For, notice the for, thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Why do we pray? Because we believe God is, and He's our Father. Because we believe God is, and He has the kingdom. He has the power, and He has the glory. That's our faith. Do you see that it is our vision of God? It is our understanding of God. It is the grasp we have of the greatness and the glory and the purpose and the power of God that will lead us to pray. A person with little idea of what God is will have little idea how to pray. But the person who, having come to God's Word, thought deeply upon it, having allowed that word to penetrate, as McLaren did, the depths of his being, so that it forms his very feeling, will have such an understanding, such a spiritual vision of God, that his prayer will be out of the depths of faith. So this prayer is structured. Therefore we will pray it. If we pray it aright, out of deep thought, deep feeling, and deep faith. When you look at the structure, you will see that the prayer falls into three parts. There is what is called an invocation. You remember what I said in some of the earlier studies? Especially when we were looking at verse 8, "Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." When we come to pray, we don't come to inform God of our needs. We come to invoke God to help us in our need. We call Him into the situation. So we start with an invocation. It's a big word. In means in. Or into. The Latin verb vocare means to call. That's all. So it is invoking God, it is calling God in or into. We start with an invocation. Very, very interesting this. When you come to the great prayers of Scripture, many of them prayed in the midst of the most extreme circumstances. Many of them prayed by men who were facing life and death situations. Many of them with such an urgency that you would imagine those men would rush right in and say, "Oh God, see my need. Do this, do that, do the other thing." But first, they came to stop at the very threshold and consider Him to whom they came. Very important that. In some ways, not in every way I suppose, but I'm inclined to be a little extreme in this, perhaps. The more I think of it, the more I think I'm right. In some ways, in most ways, the beginning of every prayer is the most important part of all. How a man approaches God, how he invokes God, how he worships God at the beginning of that prayer will tell you a lot about how he is ever going to complete the prayer. I'm not saying we have got to be theologians. Some of the greatest prayer warriors of all have been the simplest in prayer. John Hyde of India. George Mueller of Bristol. Prayed with great simplicity, but oh, they knew what it was to invoke God. Men and women, this is how you start. It is said that in the old British Navy, in the days when every ship had its bugler, when there was a crisis, the bugler put his bugle to his lips, and he bugled a piece that was called the Still. And that was the captain's command. The crisis had broken, but that was the captain's command, that every man had to stop. Take measure of the situation. Consider the crisis and not just react. Because much depended on the wisdom of the reaction. I tell you, the beginning of every prayer is when God puts the bugle, as it were, to his lips and he bugles the Still. As the Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." As he puts it through Isaiah, "Keep silence before me." Sometimes the most important part of a prayer is what happens when a man comes into the presence of God and he lets the thoughts of the Word of God penetrate his inmost being and permeate his thinking until before there is a word, there is an entire atmosphere of prayer and he is ready to invoke the Lord. Great American evangelist J. Wilbur Chapman told about meeting John Hyde, the praying Hyde of India. He had known the benefit of praying Hyde's prayer for his mission, and he asked the great prayer warrior, "Come pray for me." So we got together before God. He says, for 5 minutes, Hyde was on his knees I never uttered a syllable. And after those 5 minutes, he lifted his face to heaven, and Chapman said his face shone. And he cried just one thing at that time. Oh, God. Two words. Oh, God. Lapsed again into prolonged silence. Meditation. Inward approach to his Father. Chapman said, then there came a prayer for me such as I have never heard. Then there came petitioning and supplicating such as I have never heard. God heard prayers for me that day, he testified. It changed his ministry forever. I tell you, invocation. Never be too much in a hurry when you come to God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.